and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of January 9th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and live and in studio, Melissa Hansen.
Hello, everyone, from sunny Los Angeles, instead of cold, frozen Northwoods.
So, what have you been up to entertainment-wise this week?
I don't know if you know this, but I went and saw Mission Impossible 4.
Really?
I did.
So did I.
Imagine that.
Wow. So what did you think?
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I wasn't, when they announced they were going to do it, I was like, why, really, you're going to bother with that? And then they said Brad Bird was directing, and I became very intrigued.
Yeah.
So, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think the best one of the four of them.
I have to agree. It was kind of tension building from start to finish. I mean, there wasn't really a lull in the story where you kind of got bored with anything.
No, and there was a good storyline. You were interested in the characters. I mean, the main thing is the action.
Right.
But there was enough humor and, to me, just enough of a nod to, like, the classic series.
Right. But, no, I think it's definitely a Brad Bird movie. I mean, if you are a fan of his other films, you know, be it his own, like, Iron Giant or the work he did for Pixar on The Incredibles and Ratatouille, that type of storytelling is still there, that energetic fun.
Absolutely. To me, he just basically made an animated movie, but just made the actors do all the shit that is insane.
Oh, my God. And I do not like Tom Cruise. And I make no bones about hiding that fact. But for whatever reason, I like Tom Cruise movies. We were talking about this last night.
He was made to make this kind of stuff. He was made for this role.
He pulls it off so well. And it was just, I don't know. And I know he does his own stunts.
Oh, my gosh.
And the cast, like Paula Patton, I read an interview with her saying how on edge they were when he was doing stuff. Because if he gets hurt, movie's over.
Right. And some of the stuff he had to do was crazy.
Yeah. And it took them 7 months to make this movie.
Oh, I believe it. Some of those set pieces, you know, and some of the action stuff they had to do just to set up shots had to take days.
Oh, my God. And the locations. They shot, what, in Prague? They shot in
Dubai.
Dubai.
Yeah, and India.
India, Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about this because I have been on a Sean Connery, James Bond binge lately, and this calls back to those types of movies, that international intrigue, the very layered, complex storytelling. And this was no dumb script.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there was plenty of twists and turns and things that kept you on the edge of your seat throughout the whole experience. And there was one point. What was the point where the audience broke into applause?
Oh, it was some big action scene that
it was on the tower.
Had to do. It was on the tower in Dubai, like the tallest building in the world. And he's, you know, 200 stories up outside swinging around. And
when they got him back in, because he missed the window to get back in and hit his head.
It was just insane. They got him back in. Yeah, the whole audience, like, erupted in applause in the middle of the movie.
Right, which is a very telling piece of information for an audience. Yeah, that was excellent. You can see another installment being made. I mean, you can see Paramount greenlighting yet another film. So.
Yeah, and I would hope they'd keep the cast. The cast changes besides Tom Cruise for all these movies.
Yeah.
But this cast, I think, worked really well together.
It did.
Jeremy Renner.
Right.
Simon Pegg.
Who's awesome.
And Paula Patton, like you said, who, you know, were his team.
Yeah.
Was great. And then in this one, I mean, he wouldn't be back because he was the villain. But Michael Nyquist.
Yes, who we've talked about.
From the Swedish Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Right.
He kind of plays the bad guy in it and does a great job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some real brutal physical violence scenes. Really incredibly well done.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and you saw another film that you hadn't seen.
Oh, I finally saw The Help.
Yeah.
Which is kind of opposite end of the spectrum
Exactly.
So, yeah. It was good. I've wanted to see it. I just didn't catch it when it was in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And it stars Emma Stone, who's just, I think, one of my favorite actresses.
Yeah.
I just love watching her. And it was a different her.
It was.
Like, she wasn't so cutie.
Yeah.
You know, cutie sexy kind of thing.
And she's taken a back seat to a lot of other powerful women who were in that. Octavia Spencer, Viola Davis, and Allison Janney, and
Sissy Spacek.
Bryce Dallas Howard, who was a total bitch in this movie.
God, I hate her now.
Yeah.
But yeah. But no, Emma, like, took a back seat, but also held her own, too.
Yeah.
No, it was a really well-done movie. There was more to it than I thought there was going to be. I knew the basic plot line.
Yeah.
But there was much more drama to it, and you know, dealing with some of the historical events. And, no, it was an excellent movie, too.
I think it's a contender for Best Picture?
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Definitely some of the acting.
Because they're doing 10 pictures this year for Oscars.
Yeah, are they back to that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I could see it being nominated, not winning.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a look and see what's been going on at the box office this weekend, because the past few weekends have been pretty paltry, to say the least.
Yeah, and it's not looking too hot. The Devil Inside won this week.
Which we talked about last week is another one of those kind of documentary found footage kind of horror films.
Yeah, so that came in first, which I'm assuming because it was the one big new thing.
Yeah.
And then it's followed up with Mission Impossible.
Okay.
Then Sherlock Holmes, and then Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Has it broke 100 million yet?
No.
No?
Come on, people. You're really not listening. One thing. Go see a good movie. That's all I'm asking of you. Can you do it? No.
There was a report, though, that they are moving ahead with the second movie,
yay,
despite the fact that it, yeah.
But it's pointless to do a second without the third. They have to do it together, yeah, in my opinion. It's just one plot line, really.
Yeah. Alvin and the Chipmunks still on that list this week?
Oh, of course it is. Come on. Yeah, that runs out the, what, top five there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what else you think? War Horse, We Bought a Zoo, Adventures of Tintin, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy, and New Year's Eve is still hanging on there.
Really?
So, yep, that's like number 10, but I guess there's not too much to see, so it's still hanging on. I'm sure it'll be off by next week.
All right. Well, and again, this coming week, there isn't a whole lot more to add to the mix. Meryl Streep's Iron Lady opens wide.
One.
Yeah. But again, that's going to be for a select audience. That's not going to be a major market pleaser. There's an interesting movie that has a huge cast called Contraband, which Mark Wahlberg is fronting.
Okay.
So it's Mark Wahlberg and Kate Beckinsale and Giovanni Ribisi and Lucas Haas and Diego Luna and J.K. Simmons.
That's a crazy cast.
Wow. I know. But it's about a guy who used to be part of the smuggling scene in New Orleans, who got out and became legitimate, but now has to go back in to save his brother-in-law's ass because he's gotten into trouble.
So kind of done before plotline, but we'll see if they can put a spin on it.
Yeah.
But then again, watching, it sounds like that cast, even if it's not the most original script,
it'd still be
interesting to watch them do it.
Yeah. The other one is Joyful Noise, which we just saw a commercial for. Which, I don't know who came up with this idea, but pairing Dolly Parton and Queen Latifah together.
Yeah, and it's like a choir, it's about choir singing competitions.
Right.
They're like up against each other.
I don't know. I love Dolly. I mean, she's a magnanimous personality. I mean,
And Queen is great.
But when's the last time Dolly Parton made a movie?
Oh, I don't know. It's been a while.
Yeah. Like Straight Talk or something like that in the 80s.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, listening to this, I'm like, this is such a, like, 80s, maybe early 90s kind of movie.
Like they dug the script off a shelf or somewhere.
Yeah, like this could have been up against Sister Act or something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Weird.
I don't really want to see how it ends up, but if any of you see it, let me know how that works.
One other film that's opening, but it's in limited release, probably New York and L.A., is We Need to Talk About Kevin, which is Tilda Swinton in what looks like a creepy movie because it's about the mother of a high school student who did a Columbine type killing.
I think it's more of like character study, but I'm sure with her playing that, it's just going to be as dramatic as can be.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, if the box office isn't your thing, there's always DVD and Blu-ray, so let's take a look and see what's coming out this week.
Okay. At DVDverdict.com, upcoming DVD releases, and we're looking for this week, so the discs will be out on January 10th.
A bunch of Blu-rays, a catalog Blu-rays, like the 40-year-old version and the Bourne films, which there was a set of the Bourne films on Blu-ray already out. Now they're releasing them individually.
Right, because they can make more money now.
Exactly. Boardwalk Empire, did you ever watch that on HBO?
No.
Because it's into second season now?
We're talking about catalog releases on Blu-ray.
Yes.
When Harry Met Sally, which I actually just watched on New Year's.
Okay.
It's a New Year's-ish movie.
Yeah,
so that's coming out.
Some new classic Doctor Who, John Pertwee and Tom Baker. Breakfast Club on Blu-ray. Is that the first time that's been on?
I don't know if it's been on Blu-ray. But Universal's doing a whole bunch of their big kind of blockbuster stuff. It's the 100th anniversary of Universal.
Oh,
so
that's
they're releasing stuff on Blu-ray under that.
That's funny. Paramount is the 100th
title
this year, too. That was their opening to Mission Impossible last night. It was 100 years.
Yeah, so they're releasing a bunch of stuff. Brokeback Mountain, Breakfast Club, 8 Mile.
Oh, jeez.
That fits in with when you think Universal Classics, 8 Mile.
Yeah. Hey, there's a Lindsay Lohan on the list this week.
Oh, boy.
Chris Pine and Lindsay Lohan in Just My Luck.
Oh, that's an older movie.
Yeah.
I think I watched that on a plane once.
Really?
I think that's the only reason I watched it, because I was in a seat thousands of miles in the air.
A captive audience. Jason Statham's Killer Elite, which did not stay in the theaters long, but it's a remake of a James Caan film from the 70s.
Oh, really?
About hitmen. Yeah.
Huh.
Moneyball, which, did you see that?
No.
I really, really liked it. There are a lot of people I know who were split kind of down the middle. They didn't like it. But I you know, and this is a bold statement to make, but I would put it up there with Field of Dreams. And Bull Durham is kind of a classic baseball movie.
Excellent.
You know. What else? Oh, look, a made-for-DVD Billy Zane movie.
Imagine
The Scorpion King 3.
Oh, my god!
But it's Billy Zane with hair, so they had to...
So it's the third in a spin-off.
Right, of like, The Mummy.
Yeah, but it wasn't even a spin-off of The Mummy. It was a spin-off of one of the follow-ups to The Mummy.
Right, it was The Mummy Returns.
And then it was...
Yeah. Because it was The Rock.
King, and now, the, right, and now we're to like the third of a spin-off of a spin-off of a sequel of a... Alrighty.
If you're into romantic comedies, Anna Faris in What's Your Number? Like, how many people did you sleep with?
Exactly.
37? I'm 37?
She's
sorry.
Big old slut, so she can't get a man to marry her.
Oh, wow.
Wah, wah, wah.
Warner Brothers is doing some other Blu-ray releases that have been out in Digibooks. Expensive form, and now they're doing, you know, cut rate cheap versions like North by Northwest, which is a great Hitchcock movie. Cary Grant. Yeah, so there's a bunch of stuff to choose from on here.
Yeah, we're starting to get back to some decent stuff coming out.
Yeah. And if you don't want to rent DVD or Blu-ray, we can go and look at what's streaming this week. Netflix, not a whole lot on the Netflix front this week. Clint Eastwood's 1959 television series Rawhide in its full, complete form, if you have a Eastwood fix you want to see. The cult comedy from Comedy Central, Workaholics, which is kind of like these three idiots who work in a cubicle farm. But the one of the dudes is recovering from a back injury because, like, on Christmas or New Year's or something, he thought it'd be really cool if he jumped off his roof onto a beer pong table.
Oh, yeah,
and, like,
that's always
fractured
smart.
His back.
Yeah,
so now he's
good.
Recovering.
Excellent.
Genius. And an MTV comedy that I'm not familiar with called The Hard Times of R.J. Berger.
Oh, yeah, that's like about being like a young teenager boy going through puberty, right? That's why he's having hard times.
Oh, jeez. I can't remember the last time I even had MTV on, actually, so I'm getting old. Over on Hulu, there's some Jackie Chan movies like Super Cop, which was a lot of fun, and a couple documentaries for film geeks. Halloween, 25 Years of Terror, which looks at the John Carpenter franchise, and a Star Wars documentary called A Galaxy Far, Far Away for all of the Star Wars nerds, dorks, nerds. What do they prefer to be called?
Smart people.
Okay, Trekkies, Trekkers, that kind of thing. Amazon Instant, actually, and we're going to start looking at this now because it's kind of the third leg of the triumvirate for streaming. They seem to have a lot more going on. So, I mean, of course, they release everything that they release on DVD right away goes to Amazon Instant. So everything this week, like Moneyball and Killer Elite, will be there. But there's some catalog stuff like The Horse Whisperer with Robert Redford, Halle Berry's Monster Ball, Blade 2, and a great little Disney documentary if you're a fan of classic Disney films called Frank and Ollie, which looks at Frank Thomas and Ollie Johnson's career as animators, which is really, really sweet. Both of them, I think, are gone now.
Nice.
Preserving history. All right, I'm going to shut up. You take over.
Okay. TV, we're starting to get back to shows after, you know, winter hiatus. We're coming back, and then we've got some new ones that are starting mid-seasons and a few specials. So one of the new shows that is starting is on NBC, The Firm, starring Josh Lucas.
Is that
the John Grisham.
Yeah.
Based on the John Grisham book.
Speaking of Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah, starred in the movie. So how many years later we're making a TV show?
Oh, my God. Well, that was in the 80s, right?
90s.
But, okay.
Yeah, so that actually started Sunday, but they're rerunning it throughout the week. It's like going to be on Thursday again, and then it's going to be on Saturday, and, you know, so check NBC's listings for that if you want to catch it. Wednesday on CBS is People's Choice Award, so we're starting starting the big award season here. Okay. So you'll be hearing about quite a few of them in the upcoming weeks. But that one's on Wednesday. And then new shows Wednesday. NBC has Are You There, Chelsea?
Yes.
Which is based on, like, Chelsea Handler and her book.
Let It Fail.
And stars Laura Prepon. So, we'll see.
This is taking Community's spot. Let It Fail.
But give it a chance. All but right. Whatever. Yeah, I'd rather have Community.
Yeah.
And then Fox has a new show. It's Howie Mandel starring in it. It's called Mobbed. And they set up people who want to give news or, like, ask, will you marry me? Or things like that.
Show.
They set up, like, a flash mob to, like, tell the person your news.
Oh, brother.
So, we'll see how that goes. Or actually,
Howie Mandel is the germaphobe, right? So he's going to surround himself with all these people and he's all afraid of germs?
Yeah, with a whole bunch of strangers.
Yeah, that's smart.
It's going to turn out well. And then Thursday on Fox, another new show, The Finder, which is a spinoff of Bones, even though it really has nothing to do with Bones. They guest starred in an episode last season, and it's this guy who has these special skills to find anything. So it's kind of a mystery show, and people come to him with whatever's missing, and he finds it, which actually it looks a lot more exciting than it sounds.
Okay.
So that is starting. And then Saturday on ABC is the Miss America pageant.
Can't believe they're still doing that.
So we can destroy little girls' lives on Saturday night. And then not too much coming out in music this week. One thing, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, like we talked about, the soundtrack for that's coming out.
Which is awesome. If you like Michael Giacchino's music, he really covers all the spectrum. Traveling from place to place, he gets the Russian stuff in the Kremlin. He gets
there's some scenes in India,
right through the marketplaces.
A bit of Bollywood feel.
Oh yeah, the party.
The score and
it's good stuff. Really,
yeah.
Really good
I'm not don't know tons about film scores, but like I know when they're good. So no, this was a good one. It fit in really well with what was going on, and then of course had a little bit of the classic. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, the Lalo Schifrin theme from the TV series.
The classic theme, just enough in there to kind of remind you it's Mission Impossible without just having it take over.
All right.
So.
And you got a Dean Martin tune in there, too, in the jailbreak with kick in the head. That's really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Really smart use of music, actually. So. And then a couple interesting books. Jennifer Hudson actually has, like, a memoir coming out. Called I Got This, How I Changed My Ways and Lost What Weighed Me Down. So it's about her weight loss, but also her emotional weight loss.
Okay.
And then...
Chicago girl Jennifer.
Chicago, who's been through a lot. She was, if you're interested in the book, you already know who she is, but she was on American Idol, but she's had some tragedy in her life. Her family, a big part of her family was actually murdered.
That's right.
Not too long ago in Chicago, and she's dealt with a lot, and she's was fairly heavy, like, when she was on American Idol and for a long time, and she's, you know, done Weight Watchers, and she's their spokesman, so has lost a lot of weight with that. So,
and kept it off.
Yeah. So if you're a fan of hers, that could be something you really want to check out, kind of hear things from her point of view. And then Susie Orman has a new book, The Money Class, How to Stand in Your Truth and Create the Future You Deserve. So if you miss watching her, you know, on Oprah, you can go check out her book.
Susie Orman, who creeps Paula Poundstone out.
Yes.
Because she has that guy smiley type Muppet head.
Susie Orman creeps everybody out. Come on. But the other thing, there's a whole bunch of books coming out this week.
What?
A bunch of graphic novels.
Yes.
About Big Time Rush, Selena Gomez, Drake, what? Justin Bieber.
They have a Nickelodeon contract?
They don't.
Oh.
It's not from Nickelodeon.
Oh, okay.
But it's a whole other series because they have Black Eyed Peas, too. But
oh, wow.
So it's graphic novels on musicians.
Okay. Singers. I think they've done that before, if I remember, because I've been out of comic books for a little while now. But
yeah.
I think I've seen those types of, you know, biopic-type graphic novels before.
Right, right. So there's, a whole big set of them coming out this week. And then in, actually I have some theater news.
Yes.
This week, Daniel Radcliffe recently left How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Right.
And he's actually hosting Saturday Night Live this week.
Oh.
So that could be interesting. But Darren Criss from Glee took over temporarily.
Okay.
He flew out there, took a break from shooting Glee, and he is doing it now just through January 22nd, which I'm sure he's excellent in it.
Well, I mean,
it seems like he would do a great job.
You know, out of all the kids on that show, I honestly think he is the most talented because he's a throwback to, like, Gene Kelly and
absolutely
the Song and Dance Man. I mean, he's really exceptional.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's done a lot. I mean, they created theater. And it's interesting he's taking over for Daniel Radcliffe because he and his friends, his theater troupe...
That's right.
...did a Harry Potter, like, satire.
That's how he got noticed.
That's how he got noticed. They did it... he and his friends and filmed it and put it on YouTube.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so that's how he got known. So so he's, you know, into producing stuff too, not just singing. No, he's an all-around triple, quadruple threat.
Yeah, really talented kid.
But he's just doing it that short time, so he's not leaving Glee or anything. And Nick Jonas from the Jonas Brothers is going to take over then at the end of the month.
He's probably the most talented out of that family too.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting things to see if you are in New York. And fans of those. And that could be a really good way with Nick Jonas, too, if you have, you know, a younger child, want to get them interested in theater.
Right.
Take them to see Nick Jonas and a Broadway show all at the same time.
All right.
Woo-woo.
All right, so we're going to switch over to entertainment news.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to hit you up first with some few things here.
Okay, go for it.
Harry Connick Jr. is joining the cast of Law & Order Special Victims Unit.
He's just guest starring, right?
Yeah, but it's going to be a recurring role.
Oh, is it?
So he's going to be an assistant district attorney and Mariska Hargitay's new love interest.
Oh, I may actually have to watch this one.
And that begins on the 18th of January. But the last TV he did was on Will and Grace. He played Deborah Messing's husband.
Yeah. No, he's a good actor.
Yes, he's fun.
Yeah.
And again, a very kind of natural.
Yeah, but I've seen him more in funnier stuff too. We'll see on something serious.
Yeah, that's true. This is a little darker.
Dramatic.
Yeah, dark, cheesy dark. Kathy Griffin is expanding her Bravo empire. She just signed to do two more stand-up specials for 2012.
Oh, excellent.
And she's getting her own new weekly one-hour talk show this spring.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I like watching her. And My Life on the D-List isn't on anymore.
No, that's done.
That's done. Okay. So it'll be nice to see her.
But she's been doing this New Year's Eve with Anderson Cooper for the past 2 or 3 years. And it's really
poor Anderson Cooper.
I know. He loves it. He loves the attention. He giggles like a little girl every time she's on. So, yeah, it's the two of them are really good together.
Yeah.
And the Television Critics Association panels, which is kind of the mid-season push for the studios to get the press in to say, here's what's coming to the networks. It's a new mid-season that's happening this week in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And they even do it on the weekend. So today, which we're recording this, was the Fox panel. So a lot of news that came out of Fox today. In fact, Kiefer Sutherland spilled the fact that they begin shooting the 24 movie in late March.
Oh, some people will be very excited.
Yes, Dave Johnson, namely one of them. Terra Nova is likely to get a second season. They've been very happy with the success it's had. I know they've invested a lot of money in it, but they haven't been disappointed with it. You know, they've been really pleased. Although the two other big shows that aren't doing so well right now are Fringe and House, and both of those are on the bubble.
Okay.
Glee is very likely going to get a fourth season. They haven't committed to it yet.
I'm sure.
But they've killed the spinoff.
Okay. So we're not going to, like, follow them to New York or whatever.
No, but
they're just going to be gone.
Kevin Reilly, who's the head of programming at Fox, said that Ryan Murphy has come up with a way to keep those characters kind of involved in next season.
Oh, jeez.
So we'll see what happens there.
All right.
They've pulled the plug on Jonah Hill's animated series, Alan Gregory.
Oh.
I guess with all the push they did for it, advertisement. You know, money, big budget.
Yeah, it just didn't live up to what they wanted.
And he made some passing comment about animated series in that The Simpsons already has 3.5 seasons of episodes in the can?
That can't be right.
Can that be just sitting on a shelf waiting to be?
That can't be right.
That's what he said.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That is, if that's true.
So.
Wowzers.
I don't know. Maybe it's just vocal recordings in the can and they haven't done the animation yet? Or if there's really.
Well, it could be.
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, we know it's going to stick around for a while.
Yeah.
But
all right, what you got?
The Bay-Z baby is here.
The what?
The Bay-Z. That's what I'm calling it. Bay-Z, Beyonce, Jay-Z, baby.
Oh, you mean her surrogate actually had the baby and they delivered it to the hospital.
They have no idea what you're talking about.
Right, because that pregnancy bump that she had keeps inflating and deflating. And
you have no idea what you're talking about.
And they also rented out. Imagine this. They rented out the entire floor of the hospital and wouldn't let anybody on there except their people without any cameras or anything like that. So very interesting.
We've pretty much seen her hoo-ha in all the videos. So why would they care if we see it when she's having a baby.
Because there's nothing inside there. That's why.
Anyhow, yeah, Beyonce and Jay-Z's baby daughter was born Blue Ivy Carter, because Carter is like Jay-Z's real last name.
Okay.
So Blue Ivy Carter we welcome her into the world.
All
right. So, okay, here. There were two Kardashian stories that came up with. For this week. And I've been going back and forth, like, why I should only use one and save one for next week, just in case there isn't anything.
Well, please, like, there's never going to be anything new.
And that's what I decided. There is no way in hell that nobody in this family is going to do something obnoxious next week. So here they are. There's actually a positive Kardashian news story.
Positive? In what way?
Seriously. Khloe had tweeted asking her supporters to, like, text to World Wildlife Fund and donate money.
Okay.
And their donations went up $6,000 that day.
Oh, jeez. Maybe they can tell people to go out and vote on election day, and we'll get people actually going to the polls.
No, you want Kardashian followers voting? Really, you think that'd be good for the country? No. So anyhow, no. So Khloe used her powers for good, which is excellent. Because the other news story the Courage Campaign here in California.
I don't know what that is.
It's a political organization, and they're campaigning to change the tax structure.
Okay.
And they released a video, like, why should we vote to change the tax structure? And Kim Kardashian made $12 million in 2010, but she paid just 1% more income tax.
She made $12 million for doing nothing.
Exactly. But she only paid 1% more income tax than somebody making $47,000. And so this is their big point. So in it, they use a clip of Kim talking about how being on TV has changed her life.
Yeah.
Being on TV has changed my life because I get lots of free stuff.
Oh, jeez.
So they're using this clip of her to try to promote changing the tax structure because Kim Kardashian should not get lots of free stuff and be rich.
Well, and we've talked about this before, that the more famous you get, the more wealthy you get, the less you have to pay for anything.
Oh, exactly.
Because people fall over themselves to give you stuff.
Like we just said, Kim Kardashian made $12 million. She doesn't need free shit. I need free shit, people. She doesn't need free shit.
Oh, boy. So Will Wheaton, his favorite quote from The Nerdist, which was the BBC America special they did the interview, is that the Kardashians depresses him more than Hitler.
Oh, I agree with that. And yet I talk about them every week.
I know. It's sad. It's ubiquitous. They're everywhere. You can't escape it.
Exactly.
All right. That's all I've got this week.
Oh, me too. Well, I did my Kardashians again. All right, what else is there to talk about in the world?
They're good. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. As always, you can contact us with feedback at mstaley@dvdverdict.com.
And mhansen@dvdverdict.com.
Or you can call the voicemail hotline at 310-878-4968. And you got a special sign-off this week?
I absolutely do. Would I let you down?
No, of course not.
Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.